There are many roads to hate, but envy is the shortest. It isn't just about wanting what others have. It's important to take something away. I should know. My character is trouble. The darkness at the edge. I'm the villain. A teacher of pain. Let me continue our lesson. Left unchecked, envy becomes hate. Like the old story of the cow next door that provides the richest milk and the sweetest butter. I want that cow, says the neighbour. Dead.
Great characters make great drama. More than TV. ITV.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty-Dowerty. Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson, hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
Lisa Wallant, now that's what I call Wallentainment.
Ava Nagila Weber.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Susie going toe to toe bin.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
Give 'em hell, Miss Noel.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthews sisters.
Solo K with Wellington Dupre.
And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
We love you guys. Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on ye old browse. I'm Ronnie Caram. I'm also on the Rose Pricks Bachelor Roast podcast. And as usual, I'm with my gorgeous co-host, who is also the creator of Real Housewares of Kitchen Island, Mr. Ben Mandelker. Hello, Ben.
Hi, how's it going?
I'm so excited to be here on Top Chef Day.
I know. I love Top Chef Day.
We're going to open so this fun. By begging you, come to Canada. Come see us in Vancouver. Suck us.
Yeah.
Get over there.
Yeah, we are actually begging right now. We want you to come because, like, when we do these things like festivals, we're in front of, like, there's, like, famous people. And we don't want to – we want to, like, impress everyone and be like, look at all the people who showed up for our show. So come to our show. And we've also decided we figured out what we're going to cover next Friday at the show. Ronnie, do you want to tell them?
We're going to do the first episode ever of Real Housewives of Vancouver because we're going to be in Vancouver. And I don't know that we ever – I can't remember which Housewives was first over there. Do you? Was it Vancouver?
I don't know. I think it was Vancouver, not Toronto. Is there a Toronto or no?
I think so. There's two Canada ones.
I don't know. I've never seen it. So this is going to be fun because it'll be like – full on first impressions. I imagine that maybe our Vancouver audience has seen it, but I think maybe some of our friends coming up from the States or have not seen it. So I think it's just going to be really fun. And we're going to do some really silly Canadian accents, which has really become one of our fortes recently. And I'm really excited. I don't even know where to watch it. I'm assuming it's on YouTube somewhere.
I had that whole season downloaded for a while because I watched that season. I looked it up on the old internet. Yeah. I'm wondering if Toronto would be more fun. Damn it. I don't know.
How about this? Here's what we're going to say. We're going to do Vancouver with an asterisk. Know that it may change a little bit over the next few days because we also have to see how accessible it is for our audience to be able to find it. If it's like easy to find on YouTube, then we'll put a link up. We'll show everyone how to watch it, to do their homework, etc. And if it's too hard to find, or if we just decide that Toronto is funnier, and we're happy to hear from you guys too. Let us know. But we just think it'll be really fun to do Vancouver in Vancouver.
Oh, heck yeah. And thank you to everybody who reserved so many tickets for the South by Southwest thing. That's coming up right after.
Well, it's not that they reserved tickets. It's that they signed up for the info. They signed up for information on how to get tickets.
Yeah.
And that there was such an overwhelming response that they actually shut down the list, that they closed it. They're like, okay.
Yeah.
Because way too many people express interest in coming. And the theater is smaller. So, that's going to be once they send out the information of when those passes become available, like, you have to hop on them because those will be gone.
Yeah, and then we're going to be in other places. So go to watchwhatcrappens.com/just watchwhatcrappens.com. Scroll down. The calendar's all there. We're doing a ton of shows this year.
Do you want to do the song just today,
Yeah,
Ronnie?
Do it. Go for it. I don't have it in front of me.
Okay, I never have it in front of me either, so I always change it up. We're going to Boston, Portland, Phoenix, Irvine, Milwaukee, Minnesota, all the time. And there's another city I'm forgetting. I'm sorry to the city I'm forgetting. Cincinnati was that city. Yay for Cincinnati.
Okay, so there. And then go get your Countess Luann's anti-Warhol pop icon t-shirts. They're over at Watch What Crappens or crappensmerch.com. Now today, now that the chillin' is all did and done, we have Top Chef.
And also listener mailbag, by the way. Or Crappens mailbag, I should say.
And the Crappens mailbag at the end of the show. So we open up today's Top Chef right after the Kentucky Wildcats Challenge. Mm-hmm. And there's only 6 people left. And Sarah's still back there all pissed off.
She's crying, but now she's like embarrassed that she's crying. And so she's trying, like, she's crying because she's being petulant, but she's trying to also show that she's not being petulant. So she's trying to, she's like attaching a sentimental story. And she's like, it's just that my grandpa used to take me to that arena as a kid. And I don't know, it's like, okay.
That's a really touching story. And I just got a call from your grandfather. He's very disappointed in your box waffle mix. Okay. Go cry some more. Okay.
Yeah. Did your grandpa also get you box waffle mix? Is that what he did too?
Yeah. Did your grandpa mean to pass before he could see you use box waffle mix? That's really terrible. So sorry. But also I keep, you know, I feel like I say this every week, but man, I really expect Sarah to be so much worse than she is.
Yeah, she flares up, though. She flared up in this episode a little bit.
Well, you know, a flare-up is okay. You know, we all have to deal with flare-ups, you know. At least it's not a constant hemorrhoid. She could be a constant hemorrhoid, and she's not. She's an occasional, I ate too much popcorn at the movies kind of hemorrhoid. Or like,
I haven't had enough popcorn hemorrhoid. It goes both ways.
Yeah, or maybe I rode a bumpy train kind of a hemorrhoid. You know, it's like a flare-up hemorrhoid, which, you know, you can deal with that. Just a little cream and prayer.
Yeah. I think you're right. Like, I would have thought she'd be just like a monster bitch at this point in the season, where every time she comes up on screen, I'm like, ah, I hate her. But generally, I don't feel that way. But she definitely does things where I'm like, Sarah.
Come on, Sarah. But, you know, I think she's probably had therapy or gotten fired from a lot of restaurants for like being too much, because you can really see that struggle inside of her where she's trying not to kill somebody. And look, I live that struggle every day of my life. Like, I'll just go to the grocery store and want to kill people. So I feel you, girl. I feel you. And I also have that surly, snarly lip now for whatever reason. Like, half of my face is paralyzed. I don't know what happened, but only half my face smiles now. I don't know what it is. So point is, I'm with you, Sarah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Sarah, like, I get it, because she's at once like very cocky about like everything. Like, yeah, I can open a can better than anyone else. Like, try to open a can like faster than I can. You can't do it. I can open a can. And you're like, okay, great.
Yeah.
But then she like cries at a challenge, which shows that really she just has deep-seated insecurities and covers them with boastfulness that will make her she's hoping that if she acts boastful, she'll feel as confident as she's talking.
Yeah. You know, school ground kind of stuff. So she's like, Adrian, I'm sorry I jumped your shit earlier, right? That was inappropriate. And Adrian just looks at her like, bitch, I walk around with like a light pole going through my earlobe, okay? I have worse things to deal with than you. And I'm not going to forgive you either. I'm just going to sit here and stare at you with my giant ear holes, okay? Have a good show.
And Kelsey's like, you know what? At this stage of the game, not getting eliminated is great. That's what you got to tell yourself. And I was like, okay, she's going home. But I was surprised.
I was kind of hoping, because I've been really waiting for Kelsey to use her daughter card or her son card, because you know that that's coming. You know, it's like that's the first thing we say whenever we see that in the cast bios when we're making fun of them. And I was like, oh, I can't wait to see when she's going to choose to use that card. Sarah used it over boxed waffles. So her grandpa card is used, you know.
Brandon or Brendan, I forgot his name, but he was eliminated a few episodes ago. He was dumb because he never used his chocolate factory card. And that would have been a great one to use. The phantasmagasmical chocolate factory that he was raised in.
Yeah, I think he was just so expecting to make it to the end that he was just really ready to use that for his pain story. Like, when we lost the fantastical phasmagoric, you know,
chocolate factory, like, my parents took it so hard, and that's when I started doing drugs and living in the gutter. What am I saying? I've got perfect hair.
Yeah.
Never happened.
Never got there. So, also, when do we get to use the pain of having to see Brian Mullarky every fucking week on these commercials? I can't. Yeah. When do I get to use that card? Like, listen, I'm in a bad mood today. I sat through another Brian Mullarky ad, okay?
Yeah, what did we do to deserve this late Brian Mullarky onslaught? You know, like, he was lying dormant for many years. He's like a cicada. He was, like, lying dormant for, like, 19 seasons and suddenly emerged from the dirt to give us these terrible commercials where he's like, hey, do you know how to use salt and pepper? Turns out they're seasoning. You put a little salt, put a little pepper, and presto. I'm like, shut up, Brian Mullarky. He's the Joey Lawrence of cooking.
Yeah. Whoa. Well, you'd think that would be easy, but then we come to today's challenge, and you're like, wow, you don't know what salt is? Really? Really? Wow.
True.
You're immediately eliminated. So we get Eric. I was thinking of you in this Eric scene in the Top Chef garden. Because you're like, oh, this means he's going to win. And they did give him kind of another winning opening. It's like sunrise. Yeah. Sunrise in the garden with Eric and his prego wife on FaceTime.
Yeah, I've started to realize that because they're so aware of, like, the phone call home of death, that now they just are rotating that phone every episode. Like, just anyone gets the phone call. And so it doesn't mean you're getting eliminated if you call home. If anything, it means you'll probably win.
Yeah. They're trying to trick us, and it's working. Like, I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know. So we get to the quick fire, and Padma's there, and she goes, there's one thing we really have to do in Kentucky, and that's find a plastic poncho for Gail. She's spilling everywhere. It's a disaster.
Eating with Gail in Kentucky is like waiting for the orca to pass at SeaWorld every single time.
Sometimes you even take that elevator thing to see the orca pond from above, and you're like, oh, look, I can see Shamu down there, but it's just deeply unsatisfying. That's what it's like eating with Gail.
Now, please welcome my dear friend.
Philanthropist.
best-selling
cookbook author, restaurateur.
Extremely gay person.
Generally annoying person who was once proud about losing weight. How'd that go, dear friend?
A man who knows something about eating lots and lots of fried chicken. The very gay, my dear friend, and dear friend of Dorothy.
A man who had to block Gail Simmons on his phone because she kept on calling asking for a hummingbird cake.
Art Bell.
Art Smith.
No, Art Smith. Art Bell is
a very different person, but that would be hilarious if he came on too.
He's like, now listen, there's a conspiracy with fried chicken and we're going to figure it out. Did aliens bring us fried chicken? Which came first, the chicken, the egg, or the alien egg? Let's figure it out.
You should try to see the aliens try to beam up Gail. It's hilarious.
It took three saucers.
Take care of that.
It was like having tea with the three little piglets because it took three saucers.
Gail arrived and said, we come in hunger.
We come in pretzels.
You should see them try to do an anal probe on Gail. Wow. So many missed. So many mess ups there.
Finally, they just put a probe in the pantry to keep her still for a while. So it's just a weekly warning. No Gales were harmed in the making of this. Gail is thin and gorgeous. Okay, this is just all made up hate from Padma. Okay, everybody, calm down over there.
We love Gail. We always do this because we like to pretend that Padma hates Gail and will go out of her way, even when Gail isn't there, to undermine her in any possible way.
And it really has been a nice way of keeping Gail in the season. I was worried how they were going to keep us happy without Gail here. And I feel like with, you know, Padma constantly shading her and then the addition of stupid Gail, like the multiplicity, like bad copy of Gail, Nilou.
I like Nilou. Listen, I'm happy with the fake Gail. Like any Gail.
I'm like a little kid whose parents get divorced. You could bring home a saint and I'd be like, fuck her. I'm gonna cut holes in all her underwear, you know?
See, I reserve that more for Graham Elliott. Like I'm like, no. But fake Gail I'm okay with. I'm okay with fake Gail. Nilou.
Nilou. She's a fine dog. Okay, so yeah, Justin is like, Justin's like, yeah, he cooked for Oprah and Obama's and the Obamas. He's a fried chicken master. And so Art is like, guess where my first job was when I was 15? That's right, the truck stop glory hole, okay? But the second job when I was 15 was for Kentucky Fried Chicken, the Colonel himself. Colonel, what's his face from Kentucky Fried Colonel.
Today, Kentucky Fried Chicken is one of the most recognizable brands in the world. Just go to the unofficial Kentucky Fried Chicken Museum hosted at Gail Simmons' address.
If you want to see some Kentucky Fried Chicken that's been around way too long, check out Gail's colon.
The little known fact, the world's largest collection of Kentucky Fried Chicken containers exists in Gail's apartment.
In the spirit of Colonel Sanders' secret recipe, we need you to create your own blend of spices. But first, you have to identify them. Blindfolded. It's also how my first husband picked a wife. I win.
Immunity is off the table, sort of like desserts when Gail is around.
So Art's like, don't forget the salt. Salt is very, very important. All right, children?
I mean, what sort of idiot couldn't taste what salt is? Am I right? Cook for Oprah.
I'm not going to tell you how to do nothing, but if you forget your salt, you're a real bump on the log. Okay, I'll tell you that right now.
So Adrian is up first in this. So, like, again, just I think you said it, but like the chefs have to like taste all these herbs and spices, and whichever ones they taste are allowed to use in their chicken. So Adrian comes up first and they're like, all right, Adrian, here's something. What is this, Adrian? And she goes, dry thyme. She's like, no. The next thing she's like, dry thyme. And they just cut to Padma's face looking just like, who is this monster? Does she know even anything about spices?
Padma's looks during this whole challenge were the best thing. I mean, they were like, listen, we're paying this bitch. I don't even care what the challenge is. Just make it something so that we can annoy Padma every 2 seconds and get a shot of it, you know?
So Adrian, for every single thing, she's like, dry thyme. Fried thyme, and then they finally serve her thyme. She goes, oregano.
Oh God! and the stuff they were giving her was pretty recognizable stuff.
Strong.
It's like basil. Okay, it went from basil, then it went to rosemary. Okay, then it went to marjoram, which I wouldn't recognize that either.
Yeah.
I have to say, but the first two I would, and I'm me. Like I barely can smell or taste anything. I'm a chain smoker.
It reminded me, there's like this classic blooper of Family Feud where it's like the bonus round and it's like British Family Feud. And the first question is, name something you bring to the beach. And the guy goes, turkey. And then they're like, name something you would give on your anniversary. He goes, turkey. And then he goes, name something you'd get at a supermarket. He goes, turkey. It's hilarious, but Adrian basically did that with dry thyme.
Yeah, and then she never got it. Bless her heart. She's fucked. So then Padma goes, thank you, dear. What? Talking to her like that. That's how people talk to my papa in the old folks home. Thank you, dear.
Here, just step that way. If you go down half a mile, there's the tram that will take you to the Chopped Studios where you belong.
Good luck making something out of bread, thyme, and dog food.
Tell Jeffrey Sakarian hi for me. Just kidding, I hate him.
Tell Ted Allen sorry he's not one of the fun gays. Okay, so Sarah's like, I haven't won any challenges, and this is my time to win. I've got a good schnoz, all right? You can say a lot about me, but my schnoz is on point.
Yeah, and she's good. She gets in there. She's like, all right, next one. Fennel, all right, yeah, got that one, yeah. Garlic, yeah.
Heaven, no, that was my wrist. I'm just getting another one. Ah, should have known.
So Sarah runs out of time. She gets like a ton. She gets like 12. And she's like, oh my God, this is fun. Can we keep going to see how many I get? And Pema just goes, no.
But it's fun, isn't it? So Eric,
and by
gets...
fun, I mean watching you being blindfolded, looking like an idiot on TV.
So Eric gets 7, and Justin is next, and he thinks salt is garlic salt. And Padma gives the biggest stink eye.
Really? Really? Just like, even Gail, we get that right. We know her palate's fucked.
And he's like, I literally can't taste anything anymore, which is such an embarrassing thing to have to say on camera on a chef show.
Yeah, that's true. And then Eddie's doing it. And so all the spices, they're in like little like containers. And they all have like little sticks that you can stick in there and like taste off the stick. And Eddie's stick gets stuck in his blindfold, of course.
Yeah, and Padma loves it. It's the only time Padma's happy. She's like, ha ha, Eddie.
Look, for once the stick got stuck in a blindfold instead of his corn teeth.
Padma loves Eddie. And it's hilarious. He's always so nervous around her and finds a way to please her every single time. She's like, ha ha, I can't wait till we do the s'mores challenge. Maybe he'll start himself on fire.
She's like that senior in high school, like the popular girl who like becomes like not enamored, but like enjoys some sort of like dorky freshman, you know?
Yeah.
And so she's always like, hi, Eddie. Did you study for earth science today? Good. You know, she's like they become like her pet, you know, but she doesn't actually treat them like a friend. That's what Eddie is.
She just says something every day like, Eddie, you have eye boogers again. Have
Eddie,
fun on your
come
math
sit with
desk.
Me at lunch today. I want everyone to meet you. Guys, this is Eddie. Look at his teeth. Aren't they hilarious?
This is Eddie. You can't tell when he's happy and when he's sad. Isn't it funny?
This is Eddie. He's the one who bought all the food from the cafeteria line, and we had nothing left but biscuits.
This episode should be called Ben's Revenge. Because this episode was made for you. So after the challenge,
it did come full circle, by the way.
Yeah, it sure did. So Kelsey ended up getting second place with 11. Sarah wins, and Padma's like, have your palates recovered. I don't know why anything she says makes me crack up.
Everything makes me laugh. I was actually trying to exercise restraint and not writing down every line and turning it into some sort of like joke about Gail. Because everything, I was like, have your palates recovered? Sort of like Gail's dishwasher because she makes so many dishes because she eats so much. Not my best work. Not my best work.
No one works less than Gail's garbage disposal. Am I right, Gail? So Eddie, their next challenge is to make, guess what, fried chicken using the spices that you recognize. Sorry, lady with the tunnels in her ear holes.
Don't worry though, you'll have plenty of time to do something else. Get it? You all have time except for you, because you were so dumb to not get time on the one time it was time.
So they get all this food together. Do you want to go through every dish or just go to judging?
Yeah, we can go to judging. I mean, the only drama is that like Kelsey's was under and Justin's was darker than it was planned. So then we just go to judging. And so so Eric is first, and he serves up a fried chicken sandwich with gochujang, which they seem – it was like fine. There wasn't like much of a reaction. And then next is Justin, who didn't have salt. But he used soy sauce, and he basically did like a Japanese fried chicken because he's partially Japanese. And Pema does a classic Pema. She goes, did you mean for it to be this dark?
And then Eddie does a double breaded chicken thigh with rose. He does like a chili pepper sauce. Yeah. And Padma's like, very flavorful. And then Sarah did something. She did chicken with corn and a blackberry salad. And Art goes, you know what? This is like a picnic in my mouth. I was like, that's usually where picnics go, but okay, Art. Thanks for still saying it in a really gay tone so we can all laugh.
He's always driven me nuts. He drives me nuts. I don't know. This was actually one of his most subdued performances, which I enjoyed, but normally he is so extra and so, like, you know, he's like a terror in the kitchen. I guarantee that in all his kitchens, he is yelling, he's screaming. Ugh, I bet he's like awful, but then he comes out, he's like, I'm just crazy Art Smith. That's
I'm
what I
am. I'm just a wacky gay person. Because he does that thing where he's like, when he wants a laugh, he'll be like super gay to get it, you know?
Yeah.
Which, you know, I know people like that because I know thyself. And to thyself be true. Because I am like that sometimes. But I see that in him. I'm like, shut up. A picnic in your mouth? That doesn't even make sense. Art!
So then we go over to Adrian, and Pam is like, now you only had 6 spices on account of you not knowing what anything was, thinking everything was time. Doesn't that make you feel silly, Adrian? I would feel silly.
Wow, fried brain chicken. Sounds delicious.
6 spices. Wow, that's 5 less than Colonel Sanders.
So she's like, well, I basically got Steph to make something Moroccanish, or Moroccanish, and Art loved it. He's like,
yeah.
Oh, chicken has strong flavor. I love the acid of the orange against the chicken.
Yeah. And then Kelsey, so her chicken wasn't cooked all the way through, so she had to, like, serve this tiny little, like, nibble from, like, the one part that was cooked, and it was so small. It was like a little piece of chicken skin. I'm not even sure I saw chicken. I just saw the skin.
Yeah. Fatima's like, don't give me raw chicken. And she's like, no, I didn't. I just gave you a little part. And Art's like, great flavor, .. but. So then they do the judging.
You were really stingy with the chicken. You're lucky that Gail wasn't here. Otherwise, she would have tossed this table on its side and punched you in the face. Bless her heart. She gets hangry.
So then Art's like, well, most of it was great. It's like, what's your least favorite, Art? And he's like, Justin. One of the challenges was the temperature, which is a running thing with Justin today. He has some temperature issues today. And basically, Kelsey, because she didn't have enough chicken. And then Adam was like, and that brings us to the good news. And Sarah, picnic in her mouth, etc. Eddie, flavorful, beautiful sauce. And Adrian, you had the prettiest piece I have ever seen. She's like, no, dude. And Sarah's just like giving this squint, like, if that bitch takes this from me, if they take one more thing from me. Like, she can't hide anything on her face.
Yeah. But ultimately, the winner is Sarah, which is, Sarah, this is your first individual win. Congratulations on winning something in life.
I know. Padma makes it sound so mean.
I know. Took you long enough.
Yeah. Congratulations, tortoise.
It is appropriate. You do look turtle-like. Anyway, next challenge by Art. Muhammad Ali time. Okay. Progressive dinner. Each meal is going to be a famous Muhammad Ali fight. First, we have the fight at Freedom Hall. That's when Gail tried to take the last garlic knot at a pizzeria.
Too bad we don't have a peanut M&M challenge. Am I right, Gail?
Then, of course, there's the fight of the century, which is when someone dared Gail to eat an umbrella. Rumble of Jungle. That's when Gail ate a live gazelle.
Now, let's welcome my dear friend, cookbook author, fabulous gay, wonderful philanthropist, Muhammad Ali. He's passed away, Padma. Oh, well, he was my dear friend, right? Can we get some confirmation on that, please?
Oh, how sad. I just told my dear friend, Lena Waithe, that we were going to have dinner with my good friend, Muhammad Ali.
Hopefully, dear friend Art hasn't gotten on that greyhound yet.
Oh, that'd be terrible. Someone tell my dear friend who's married to the Kings of Leon guy that Art Smith is running away.
Tonight's challenge is based on the numbers of his fights. Each fight has a unique story. Just like, well, I'm supposed to say like each of you do, but let's face it, half of you don't know what salt is, and the other gave me a slit of raw chicken. Let's just stick with Muhammad, shall we? It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
And one of you is just Adrian.
Also, I like when Padma gave the prize to Sarah. I'm sorry to go back, but I just wrote it down because she says it like it's such a big deal. She's like, congratulations, you won $5,000, or as I like to call it, 1/8 of the cost of a pair of my shoes. It's like, it's like so sad, this show. The money's so sad on it.
I know. So now they're like divvying up the dishes, the courses and stuff. So like Eric is going to do Rumble in the Jungle because he's from Africa. And so he's going to do something African. And Adrienne says she's familiar with Filipino food. So she'll do the Thrill in Manila. And, you know, everyone's taking things. And ultimately, Sarah's left with like the first course, which was like the first fight, which happened in Kentucky. And she's like, now, wait a minute. Wait a gosh darn minute here. Okay. Just because I'm from Kentucky doesn't mean I want to be stuck with the Kentucky dish. I'm like, bitch, all season long you've been like, no. I know how to do this. I'm from Kentucky.
I think all she's season. Just, she always wants to complain that she's last to choose, but she's always last to choose. It's not like you pulled knives and you just keep getting stuck, you know?
But she always has an opinion about every single thing. Like, oh, you gonna make that jam recipe? Because I have a jam recipe that's amazing. Yeah. It's called Kentucky Jam Recipe, okay?
And Kelsey does it the smartest way. She knows how to deal with Sarah. So she's like, I got an idea. Why don't we write numbers, Dan? And whoever has the highest number wins. And so they pick numbers, and Eddie's mad because, you know, he doesn't want to have to pick numbers just because Sarah's all upset. And it's only Eddie, Justin, and Sarah who are left choosing. So they three pick numbers. And, of course, she gets stuck with it. She's like, you guys suck.
So then they go to Whole Foods. And, but now Sarah has a new attitude. She's like, well, I was thinking about it. Muhammad Ali is fast as lightning, so I thought he's going to call Lightning and Thunder because that's in Kentucky when, like, there's going to be a storm where y'all grab stuff off the trees and it's called Lightning and Thunder. I was like, okay, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, you take off the things that are going to die, like the tomatoes and the cucumbers, and you give them a quick pickle. And I was like, that's my autobiography title, Quick Pickle.
Yeah, exactly. So meanwhile, Eddie is looking for duck because he has it in his mind he's going to do duck because his fight takes place, his course, like the fight for his course took place in New York. So he's like, well, you know, Hudson Valley duck, whatever. So there is no duck. It's all frozen. So he decides to go for chicken. And because he's doing chicken, which is cheaper, he has extra money left over for, you know, from his budget. And so he's like, oh, I've got extra money, so you guys can use it. He goes, I'm kind of feeling charitable today. I'm like, no, you do not get to say you feel charitable. This is the money that you owe your teammates because you hogged all the money earlier in the season. It's not you being charitable. Okay, yeah, Eddie.
Like, good old Eddie Money. And I was like, that's a nice way to change that nickname around to like match a nice part of your personality, because you know they've probably been calling him Eddie Money this whole time, like that fucker. Yeah. Eddie Money, what does he think he is, Eddie Money?
Yeah. Meanwhile, and so Sarah, they all do their shopping, and so now they're cooking. Is there anything else you want to say about Whole Foods?
No.
Okay, so now they're
maybe cooking. Take a dollar off your salad bar at least, but otherwise,
yeah, please, yeah, maybe have like some not weird versions of like normal brands. Okay. So Sarah's now like working with her salmon, and she's like, yeah, so like Muhammad Ali, like during that fight, he like beat this guy to a pulp that his eye like swole up and was like bloody and nearly fell off its sock, and he couldn't see for the rest of his life, and just like a big red patch for years and years. Like, oh, look at that big bloody sore. So I'm going to cure my salmon and beet juice to remind people of that. That's what I want when I eat my food.
Yeah, that's gross. And this turned out pretty well, but my first thought was really cured salmon. She's like, come on, guys. It's Top Chef. Like, can we make an effort? So you're going to pickle some vegetables and put some raw salmon on there. Great. So Kelsey, like, come on. The season is making me crazy. So Kelsey's like, I'm making bread pudding because Muhammad Ali uplifted children. And so I'm trying to see him through a child's eyes, which is why I'm making bread pudding. Okay, what?
I didn't understand that.
That makes no sense. Okay.
Pick a Sunday.
That story literally makes zero sense. And I'm sorry.
Thank you. But thank you. I was like, I'm not following this.
But thank you for bringing sick children into this, like to make it taste better. And also Chopped, speaking of Chopped, at the end of Chopped, that's always the easiest shit that they can make is bread pudding. Yeah. You know? So another simple ass thing that somebody's making on this season. So I'm getting mad.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then she calls it unanimous bread pudding because he won unanimously. So this is the unanimous bread pudding. I was like, what? That makes no sense. Unanimous bread pudding.
This is bizarre.
I don't get it.
Yeah. I don't get it. I just put that's a stretch. So then Tom and Milu come in. He's like, well, you know, so. You know, well, yeah, checking in to see how things are going with your Muhammad Ali dishes because, you know, what an inspiration. Am I right, Nilu? Huh?
Yeah. And Nilu is wearing an aggressive pattern in honor of Gail, which I really appreciated.
Yes. Nilu really is just the multiplicity Gail. she's an odd little carbon copy with a crazier personality than regular Gail.
So Eric is making something called fufu, which is like an African dumpling from what I could gather. And he was like, oh my God, I love fufu. Yes. High five. And you can see Tom's like, oh, okay. Calm. Cool your jets. Okay. No, you're not yet.
She was the best.
Not the job just yet.
Sorry, I interrupted you. She's like, yep, he was the best bunny in the forest. Foo-foo! And she's like, so that's a dumpling, Tom. And he's like, oh, yeah. Eric's like, yeah, that's a dumpling. And Tom's like, yeah, you know, so is it like a dumpling? I'm like, Tom, are you even here today? Okay.
Sorry, I was a little distracted because I've had to explain much dumber things to my son who decided to become a mixologist.
I thought you were saying dumbing, and I thought, whoa, that's like the dumbing down of America, which my son totally got almost drowned in that tide. So thanks, America. Great.
It's funny. Dumplings. My son was eating dumplings when he was 1 year old. And I was like, wow, what an adventurous palate. It's amazing. This offspring, he's going to do such great things in the kitchen. And now he works at TGIF's as a quote-unquote mixologist.
I would have killed for even a little Hobby Lobby. You know what I mean? I mean, that's where I am with him right now. So, we keep going. But also, I was worried for Eric because dumpling, Nilu and her dumplings, you know. Someone made a dumpling recently, and she's like, that should have been a pot sticker. And that was like,
that's right.
You know.
She has dumpling standards.
Yeah, she like really cares about potato product. So I was really, really worried.
So then they go over to Adrian, and they're like, you look bewildered. What's going on with you? And she's like, well, I'm doing, it's, you know, Thrill in Manila, so I'm going to do some Filipino food. So I got, you know, I got some of the national flavors of Vietnam here, and we're just going to mix them together, and it'll be great. And they're like, yeah, well, it sort of sounds like you're making Vietnamese food, not Filipino food. Have you ever made Filipino food? She's like, no.
She's like, what part of I'm from a dairy farm did you not understand? Okay.
What part of I'm from Maine do you not understand?
Bless her little tart heart. Yeah. He's like, yeah, you know, that food is more Spanish, so you're going to have some trouble here. I'll tell you that.
You know, like a white girl from Maine saying that she's cooking Filipino food. It's sort of like a mixologist saying that he's also a top chef. Doesn't work.
So she tells Adrian, she's like, oh my God, they told me that I'm doing the totally wrong thing. And Sarah, like ever the helpful friend, is like, then just fix it. Jesus Christ. Heck. Fix it. What are you going to complain to a flat tire? Take it to a goddamn shop and get it fixed. Jeez.
I got two words for you, Adrian. Quick and pickle, okay? Quick pickle.
The Rondell Caron biography, all right? I'm busy over here. I'm typing. I'm on the bowling alley chapter.
I've stolen a bucket of KFC from the challenge, and I'm eating it right now, so please do not disturb.
So back at home, they come home, and there's like a big stack of books from Leila Ali.
Yeah.
It's called Food for Life, which is, you know, I guess that could be my follow-up book. Food for life.
I like Rick Fickle more.
Yeah. Well, the second book can never be as good as the first, Ben.
No, it's not. Mm. I think your second book should be called Quick Pickle at Home. You know, that's because that's what it always is. It's always like the first book is whatever, and the second one is at home. Like, it's like, where the fuck do you think I'm cooking this shit?
Quick pickle on the road.
I got so mad right there.
I know. I love it. I'm feeding off your anger. I perked up. Like, I sat up straighter and moved up the mic stand.
you're like, okay.
Yeah, it totally brought
me to
life.
I had a quick pickle of emotions right there. Someone put some vinegar in me.
Oh, so this is Eric's challenge to be emotional because he's making something from Africa and from Muhammad Ali. So he's like, I'm super moved by this because he's like sitting on his bed crying. And Eddie's like, what does Sarah do? He's like, no, man, it's just super moving. It's super inspirational. And Eddie's like, yep, can't wait to make some gelatinous chicken. Eddie money.
Yeah, I want to make some cafeteria food. So, yeah, so Eric, and then he gets up. I don't know if you noticed it, but Eric picks up all the tissues he's been crying into. It was like such a giant ball of tissues. I was like, damn, he was shedding some tears.
Yeah, like chefs are so extreme. You know, they're either yelling at you and throwing pans at your head or sobbing in the back alley, you know? So, they go to the Muhammad Ali Center and they agree that they're all going to help each other plate their dishes. And
I just wrote prep.
Yeah. Some of this, I'm like, why? My fingers don't stop typing. And I'm like, Ronnie, stop it. I'm like, a bus passed. Like, no one cares. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was just watching them prep, but there was nothing in my mind. Was there something really, I feel like I didn't see anything funny.
Well, there's a couple little things like Adrian's telling us her story and she's like,
oh yeah. Yeah.
Well, my fight, Thrill in Manila, that, you know, he fell on his face and passed out after he won it. And then he said later that that's the closest to a near-death experience he'd ever had. So I want to bring that experience to the people.
What? I'm going to present something that's just barely cooked, maybe even a little raw, and see who gets salmonella.
This is going to steal Kelsey's raw chicken idea.
I didn't even think about it. That is so funny. It's like the bloody eye thing from before. It's like, some of these inspirations are maybe need a little finessing. Yeah,
they're a little lacking. So the judges, let's see. Padma tells Layla, she's like, thanks for being here.
Why am I laughing so hard? It's just her saying thanks for being here, and I'm like cracking.
Because it's just how she says everything is so dry. It's so funny. Yeah. She's like, thanks for being here, Layla. It's very meaningful.
Please excuse Nilu. She's very excited and does not reflect me.
And Nilu's like, oh my God, I'm fangirling. Okay, out of all your dad's principles, what's your guiding light? No, I can't. I've just always wanted to ask that.
Oh my God, am I making a fool of myself? I am. I know. I get it. Oh my God, I totally gailed it. No, only I can say that, Nilu. Stop.
Stop mentioning Gail's names. All the chickens are running.
If you say Gail's name three times into a mirror, a cherry pie arrives in your sink. So Layla's like, well, my dad's core principle was compassion and understanding. And then they just cut to Tom nodding like, yeah, compassion and understanding. Yes. I tried that with my son, and now he's a mixologist. So,
you know, that was my that was how I looked at things until I found out my son's choices. And now I'm just going through the stages of grief. So if anyone asks you, you know the answer.
Float like a butterfly, sting like a underperforming sun.
So Sarah has to come out first. She's like, I've got a microphone. I guess speak into this. This is my worst fear, microphone. Jeez. All right, give me that thing. Hello, my honey. Hello, my baby. Like, she's terrified.
Everyone's like, boo.
The guys in the back are like, waffle mix.
Layla Ali just like throws the plate back at her. I heard you use waffle mix.
By the way, Layla Ali looks like she wants to kill somebody this whole time. She's like, yeah. What the fuck am I doing? Is the air conditioner broken in there? I mean, she does not look happy, this Layla Ali. Okay. She's pissed.
Sarah, I'm actually not even convinced that there was supposed to be a microphone for this challenge. But before Sarah came out, you know, Pam was like, Producer, do we have a microphone? I just want to see Sarah humiliate herself. Hey, Sarah, get on the mic. Oh, you're uncomfortable? Here. Just pretend we're all in our underwear. Oh, sorry, I look great in my underwear, don't I?
I just did a photo shoot in a bathtub with pizza slices, but I guess you know what that's like. Am I right, Gail?
Gail. So, So they eat Sarah's food and they all like the flavors, and Padma then turns to Layla and is like, Layla, was your father a good eater? Was he sort of like a Gail before Gail's time, if you know what I'm saying?
And of course, Padma, like, what an odd question. Of course he's a big eater. He's a boxer. And Layla's like, yeah, he liked pretty much anything you put in front of him. Yams, potatoes, green beans, mac and cheese, steak, bread pudding. She's like, ding, 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 bread pudding.
Padma's face when Layla Ali was talking about the food, they just cut to Padma. She's like, oh my God, he's a monster.
That's my idea of hell. So Justin comes out and he makes like some saffron cream and seafood soup with scallops and clams and mussels. And he's like, well, you know, I wanted to do seafood. And Ali's like, it's creamy and light. And he's like, well, the first picture my dad ever got me was Ali and Malcolm X. And it showed me the man I wanted to be. And I'm like, you're wearing gold shoes and hipster glasses. I think he missed the mark. But this story made no sense, you know. And Tom's like, wait a minute. So he said he's inspired by Maine, but, you know, it's nowhere near the ocean. So,
Tom cracks himself up. He's like, I mean, you think Maine, he hears Maine, and he thinks seafood. Lewis in Maine, nowhere near the ocean. It's like serving you chicken instead of an old hen for Coco Van. I mean, who does that? Am I right, everyone? Am I right?
Yeah, he's like, what an idiot. And Nilou's just like shaking her head like someone just gave her a dumpling instead of a pot sticker.
Nilou is like barely able to contain herself. She's like, oh God, can we give her a shot of something?
And then Justin's like, knockout. Yeah, nailed it. So Eddie's up next and he's like, guys, will you help me carry this? And everyone just ignores him. He's like, guys, should I just go fuck myself? Guys, anyone? Justin? And Justin's like, listen up, I've got gold shoes on. All right? Everybody get over here. Put hands on deck. Let's do this. And everybody listens to him. And I was like, poor Eddie. Like, nobody listens to Eddie.
I know. Poor Eddie. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? So Eddie is like, he serves up this like roasted chicken. And he says it's like with collard greens, but it looks like the collard greens have been like pureed into like a little sauce. So it's just like this very white chicken with two sauces next to it. It was very demure food. And basically they all think everything was perfectly cooked, but it was like not exciting. And Nilou's like, there's just no sizzle. And like, I mean, Layla, your dad is all sizzle. I mean, right? Am I right? Like, we totally get each other, right? Like, let's hang out. Like, we could do that, right? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm free like tomorrow if you want. I don't know. I'm around.
And Layla's like, who is this woman? Like, she just gives this look to the camera. Like, the look she gives to the camera are like Padma's voice. Like,
She's like, has Gail always been this hyperactive? That's not Gail.
When did Gail get meth face? You know, they're like, oh, that's Nilou. I'm just saying, if she thought she was Gail, she'd be like, what happened to Gail's face? It's all morphing right in front of her.
Oh, we're getting tangled up in the fan fiction. So Eric comes out.
This show, I'm just like trying to get sued. I'm like, yeah, she has a meth problem. All right, everybody, go tell your friends.
We've already imagined Gail getting abducted by aliens. Now she's on meth.
Yeah,
she's really gone through the ringers. Yeah, ringer today.
So then Eric comes out and he's like, "Foo foo." She's like, "Bunny foo foo." So this was basically, it wasn't a dumpling at all. It looked like some kind of really thick mashed potato kind of thing.
Well, it looked like it was a quenelle, which is sort of like a dumpling, you know. You know, because dumplings don't have to have wrappers. It's an unwrapped dumpling. Oh, so
I don't believe in that.
I know, it's weird to me, but apparently it's true. So like a matzo ball, I think, is actually considered a dumpling, I think. I could be wrong. I'm going to look into it. So anyway, so he presents the foo-foo. So everyone's excited about the foo-foo. We've been hearing a lot about the foo-foo. And Tom is like, you know, I like that that Eric took something humble and said, you know what? The world may not be ready for this, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. It's sort of like, it's like your dad saying, hey, don't conform to who you think you should be. Be who you know you can be. And then you become a mixologist anyway. I guess it doesn't always work out.
So you make the simplest food in Africa. Okay, great. You know what? I love you, but it's time for your simple food, not time for my son's. Simple ideas. Okay? A simple brain. I prefer your simple food to my son's simple brain. So there we go. Thanks. Whoop. And Alita, Layla didn't seem to like this. She's like, thanks. Really interesting texture. And Neely's like,
in Africa, it's the equivalent of rice. Okay, yeah. Layla. So
I mean, I'm not discounting what you said. I'm not discounting it. I think, I mean, like, you're allowed to not think it's a good texture. I mean, that's what makes us all unique. We all have different, you know, things that we like to say. Like, that's maybe in some ways that's why we would get along so well as friends, because we have different opinions and we mesh well, right? I mean, don't you think so, Layla? Maybe.
And Layla just looked at her and then just kept quiet. She's like, okay, what part of I hate this did you people not understand? Like, thanks for having me on, you dicks.
She's like, Padma, you promised me Gail. Oh, well, what if next time I bring my dear friend Lena Waithe? No.
Well, next time I'll bring my dear friend Homer Simpson. Same difference. So next up is Adrienne, and she's like really trying to sell this. She's like, it's braised short rib with the mango and herb salad. And the thing that really resonated with me was the heat that people experienced, because God, it was hot back then. So I'm going to bring the heat. That's a warning. And as she speaks, there's horror music playing in the background.
That main heat. So, so they're eating it. Layla, already I knew that was going to be a problem, because Layla is like, I love the salad on top. Like, if you're starting with the salad on top instead of the beef, that's a problem. But she's like, yeah, I love the salad. It just like really hit me in the face. And they cut to Neelu shaking her head like, yes, yes. Like, me too. Besties.
Heat. So then Tom's like, I have a question, because I know that she used some bottled hot sauce in here. And right now I'm against anything in a bottle. So, I wish she would have not tried to use something already mixed, and maybe try to do something herself. Okay? What is she, a ologist of some kind? Yeah, I don't like that. So I'm just saying it.
You know who serves things in bottles? I'll give you one guess.
Let me guess, Tom. Your son, Tom. No one cares, Tom.
That's actually correct, Padma. That's correct.
So next is the Battle of New Orleans by Kelsey. And Ali's looking at her like she really likes her. Like, she's smiling at her coquettishly and pulling both sides of her hair. You know, like when Real Housewives get nervous. And I was like, what's going on with Layla? I'm not sure.
So now, like, I mean, here's the thing. We all enjoy bread pudding. But as you said, it sort of is like the catch-all when you just need to throw a bunch of stuff together. And I just feel like New Orleans is like just the home of so many like interesting, delicious desserts. And of course, bread pudding is part of that. But maybe, I don't know, like, go for something that's like even more germane to New Orleans than
Girl,
a bread pudding,
you especially in New Orleans. You better use a mirepoix or a roux. What do I got to do this for you? Come on.
Yeah. So
bread pudding. Yeah. And so she goes into this whole story. She's like, well, I was really surprised about with your father was what he did for children. And Padma's like, did you know that bread pudding was a big favorite of Muhammad Ali, Kelsey? She's like, oh, I didn't. Thank you.
Yay. Oh, I thought that. Is that what she said? I thought that Padma said, did you know that bread pudding was a very big favorite of mine? Which is hilarious to me that. In my mind, that Padma made it all about her.
I can guarantee bread pudding is not Padma's favorite thing in the world. So, like, did you know fingernails were one of my favorite dishes to eat when I'm not at Top Chef? It was Ali, because Layla had mentioned that was one of his favorite foods before. So Kelsey's like, oh my God, I'm totally going to win this. I can use that baby card for next week.
Yeah.
And Tom's like, what? Not really very sweet, you know? And Ali's like, Layla's like, the first bite, the line was a little sharp, but I guess it needed that. And Neely's like, candy corn? Okay, that was too hard and crunchy. It's candied popcorn is what she means. But she's like, it's like you're fighting with it. And I was like, that's kind of the challenge, Neely. Okay.
I know. It is a boxing match. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm so mad at Neely. So now we go over to, now it's time for judging. They line up the judges, and the two that did the best were Sarah and Eric. And so now they're like praising them, and Pam is like, Eric, I'm so glad you made this dish. I feel like a lot of Americans don't even know what fufu is. I mean, when I say fufu, most people think that's just some sort of kibble that Gail keeps in her house for a late night snack.
Wow. Fufu. And then Eric's like, Layla, your father and his legacy have done so much. She's like, don't start crying again, Eric. We've had to bring a whole new roll of paper towels to the guest house, and we're on a budget. Did you notice this show is on such a budget? I love that everything they get has to be for free. When they were going to the main challenge, he goes, today at the main challenge, our tables and chairs were provided by Tables and Chairs or Us, or whatever. I was like, really? Yeah. You're giving a shout out to the table and chairs people now? Come on, guys.
I know.
Come on.
So Sarah, they're like, Sarah, did you want to do this dish? Because something in her eyes looked like it was full of regret. She's like, well, actually, you know, like I really tried to fight doing this course. And then I realized, why am I doing this? This is the food I love. Oh, don't act like you had the epiphany, okay? You got the number drawn, okay? That's what happened.
Yeah, and Tom's like, the crunchy cucumbers, the slime of the salmon. Whoa, I mean, you know. Great. Wow. And you just never know with this show. Because I feel like on so many other episodes, they would have been like, really? You did salmon? Cured salmon? Well, and some vegetables. Wow.
Yeah.
Was it hard to cook that vinegar? I mean, come on. Come on, Sarah. Come on. And then Ali's like, well, you both delivered the knockout. Get it, guys? I'll be here all week. But one chef stood out more representing the fight. And that is Eric. And I was like, Mom, did they even let Layla choose?
Yeah, I know.
She's like, the thing I hated the texture of. Eric, you win.
So, so Tom's like, Eric, you know, you made some food that, you know, a lot of people would have, like, turned their nose up at. And you were like, no, I'm going to do it. And just keep pounding away at it. Just keep pounding away. Sort of what I did. That's how I got to where I am right now. Of course, you could always just take some shortcuts in life and wind up as a mixologist. But that's fine, too.
How do you feel, Sarah, now that you've finally done something and Eric has three? Just kidding. No one cares. Just stand over there.
Now, I know you've heard me say this before, but I'll say it again. Gail slipped on some butter. Can two of you carry her to her bedroom, please? Thank you.
Also, we have to nitpick you. So Justin's like, whoa, after everything I put in, it's pretty shitty that it's me standing here. And Kelsey's already crying. She's like, damn it. Damn it, baby card. Damn it, baby card. I was going to save you till the top three.
So Tom's like, you know, Adrian, as the resident non-Filipino telling you about non-Filipino foods, I just think that the bottled hot sauce got in the way of the slow finish of that food. It would have been good without a bottled hot sauce if you made it your own. I'm like, listen, Tom.
Yeah.
I love you. But don't come for sriracha sauce, okay? Do not do that. I'm going to stand by the sriracha sauce.
Yeah, you want someone to make their own sriracha? Come on.
Well, it's possible to make your own sriracha, but I just think that regular sriracha is also just delicious, and I don't think it gets in the way.
Yeah, it seems like an odd, but they did say they were going to nitpick, but yeah, I thought the same too. I was like, this is not a frozen scallop. Let's stop treating everything the same. You know?
Yeah, it's okay to have this. It's okay to use sriracha sauce. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you just gave a win to cured salmon. So come on, lighten up. So Justin's like, I just wanted to do something fast because mine was a really quick knockout. So I wanted it to be quick and fast. And Neely thinks it was delicate and beautiful, but Ali thinks his seafood was undercooked. And she's like, and the soup was lukewarm. And his face is like, dun, dun, dun.
Eddie, my little creamsicle of a boy. Was it just the location that made you want to use the duck? Like, what sort of crazy idea was that?
Eddie, is your duck the reason you're peeing on the floor right now? I can't tell if he's laughing or sobbing. Anyone? And Eddie's like, Eddie doesn't have much to say. He's like, God damn it. You know, he just curses or something.
Yeah.
And Tom's like, you know, Kelsey, you know what I like your story? You know, sick kids. Like, who doesn't find that appetizing? I mean, delicious, you know?
Yeah.
But I think your bread pudding, it was a little one note. So I'll say that. And Layla's
here's
like,
the note it was. Go on. She's about to cry, everyone. Everyone be quiet. She's about to cry. It's going to be hilarious.
It's the same note that my first single is coming out in called Did You Mean To?
Remember when I was in glitter? Yeah, I was.
Remember when I wore a bikini and a fur vest to a beach? Those were the days.
I just trademarked my OneNote.
So he's like, yeah, it was OneNote. And Layla's like, yeah, my dad loved bread pudding, but I've never had like fucking popcorn. I mean, what the hell? You know, she's just looking at her like, really? And Kelsey's like, well, the aspect of him teaching kids, that's what stuck with me. And being an important example to kids. And Pat was like, okay. Do you have a daughter like Muhammad Ali? And she's like, no, I have a son. She's like, doesn't count. Sorry,
okay, everyone, I've got this. Kelsey, I'm sure when your son is older, he'll be very proud of his mother. But right now, he just feels extreme loss and sadness.
Once he figures out who you are again on your return.
Does it bother you that he calls the nanny mommy now? Does that bother you? Do you want to channel that into a dish? Is that bread pudding worthy?
So she pulls a kid card, and then Layla's like, I get it, because we're a mom, and we'll do anything for our kids. But we're not going to ruin their dentistry with some shit fucking caramel corn and bread pudding, okay? And Kelsey's like, oh, I feel so guilty.
So, yeah, so now it's like deliberations, and basically they just feel like Justin and Eddie were disconnected from the challenge. Tom is really, really hung up on the fact that Justin made a seafood soup, even though the fight took place like inland.
Well, you know, he should be. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but it's still Maine. I don't know. I think it's like reasonable to think of seafood with Maine. I think it is. But it's also weird, by the way, that Adrienne didn't take that course because she is from Maine.
Well, she had a different fight.
Right? I know, but why didn't she take that fight? Why didn't she take the Maine fight?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, I think it's because Justin wanted to do – oh, that's right. Because he had said, like, I'm making a lot of meat. And I want to do something that shows the lighter side of Justin.
So it's
like,
oh, okay, yeah, fine. That's right. Tom's like, well, you know, Kelsey took bread pudding and she went even deeper with it. Just, I love when Tom just has to make up things to say. Like he has nothing to say. She went deeper with bread pudding, Tom, really?
So Padma, like, she poses the ultimate question. What's more Gaelish, giving us seafood soup that is an anchor to anything in this fight or a poultry dish that's just lacking? What?
Well, they said it was boring, but I'm surprised that once again they didn't listen to Layla when she said she didn't like how his seafood was cooked. I mean, that's a pretty big thing, you know, and she had lukewarm soup. So they seem to just kind of be ignoring her. I'm like, what's the point?
Yeah, they were all fairly unimpressed with Eddie's dish. It was like a little just...
Yeah, and it's not the first time that Eddie served them something super boring, you know?
It looks sort of like wedding food or banquet food or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, whole, like, let's get sauces and then make them circles. Perfect artistic circles on a plate. And then put some over-brined chicken on it, you know? Because that's delicious. And it looked really smooth, the chicken. But Eddie's kind of falling into this thing where he makes a lot of just, like, mushy food.
Yeah.
So it looked like kind of mush.
So Eddie got voted off or kicked off. Next week, by the way, Gail is back. Did you see that Gail was in the previews for next week?
No, I didn't watch the previews because it was like, last chance, whatever. I was like, eh.
Oh, yeah. No, Gail is back. At least I think so. Maybe I'm hallucinating, but I'm very excited. Our hero Gail is back.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have a real Gail show.
All right, let's move on to some Crappin's mailbag.
Okay.
All right, here's a wonderful question. It's from Dash Cat, who says, what do you guys think has been the biggest ball drop for Bravo wherein they either didn't tape or didn't air something significant, like the original Mariah Quad fight, the first night in Ireland on Orange County, or the Faith and Jax tape? And also Dash Cat says, thanks for being the best podcast around. Well, thank you.
Those were great examples, actually. Those were some of the greatest examples. One of them happened in New York. There were a couple of things that happened in New York the past season where they didn't catch it and they were fighting about it the next day. And we heard from Old Queen in a Bar that they had cut the budget of New York because they're having to pay everybody so much. Because New York has really had everybody there for so long, most of them.
Yeah.
And so they have to pay them so much that they cut the budget. And so they were missing a lot of stuff. They didn't have a lot of cameras there where they should have been.
Yeah. I have three things that jump to mind. I'm going to do them in order, in reverse order of importance.
Okay.
Number three, the big brawl that happened in the Dominican Republic with the Manzo family and some people that were there. That was, they got like a lawsuit out of that. We never saw that.
Yeah, that's, I think, me. They actually caught that on camera, but they couldn't air it because they were getting sued.
Yeah. There was also, by the way, something that we just covered within the past like month and a half or 2 months. There was something where they all had to like talk about what happened the night before. Oh, you know what? Candy's, this one's not a major one, but Todd Tucker's 40th birthday party, the stuff with Portia.
Right.
Would have liked to have seen that. Okay, so number two, I'm going to say Leanne Locken fighting with Marie in the season one when she was like threatening to kill Marie. Like,
oh,
that
great answer.
Should have been cameras for that. Mm-hmm. Should have been for that. And honestly, there should have been maybe cameras for the fight that she had with DeAndre about who's the queen bee. But I think the Marie fight, like, we deserve to have cameras for that.
Totally.
And number one, I think this is the most indisputable winner in this category. There should have been a camera for when Kyle Richards told Camille Grammer, why would anyone care about you without Frasier around?
Yes. And you know what? We ended up getting an answer to that. Do you remember?
No.
They actually did have a camera, and those shady-ass producers never released the footage until they did that season one uncensored thing where they had all the producers on. They interviewed them about that first season of Beverly Hills. There actually was a camera in the bathroom with Camille and Taylor Armstrong, and Taylor was saying, yeah, you know, she was saying, like, why would anybody – you're so insecure, like, you know – why would anybody want to hang? You're so insecure that Frasier's not here because everyone would just want to hang out with him, you know? So you're insecure being on your own. And so Taylor was the one who said that. And so when Camille came at Kyle with that later, Taylor's like, I didn't say anything. I don't know what you're talking about. And it became this huge thing. And Kim Richards somehow got drug into it because she heard what Kyle said. And that was on camera when Kyle was like, oh, I don't know if she's just insecure or whatever. And then Taylor took it and made it a much bigger deal. So they did show that, but they didn't show it in the series. And it was actually kind of a brilliant holdback because that ended up causing the entire first season's fight.
Yeah, sometimes it's actually really good not to see these things because it's what we imagine is always much more horrifying. So yeah, but I think that's one of like one of the most like critical unseen moments because it kicked off that series and I just feel like it set the tone for the entire Beverly Hills franchise.
Right.
So I think that was like a major and there were probably some other great ones, but I just can't think of them. But those were the ones that jumped to my mind.
Yeah, those are good ones. What else is in there?
Christine Raycroft says, hey guys, I'm curious, when you meet new people who don't watch Bravo or much TV for that matter, how do you describe what you do for a living? Also, do you have a recap you've done that was a favor to do? Thanks for greatly improving my daily commute. You're welcome.
Oh my gosh. Well, I just say I do a podcast making fun of TV shows. That's what I say.
Yeah.
What do you say?
I usually say I have a podcast and I say it's about Bravo TV. And depending who I'm talking to, like if it's a straight guy, I usually have to say something like, you know, like Below Deck, Vanderpump Rules. Well, actually, I usually do, you know, like I say like all the Real Housewives, Vanderpump Rules. And they're like, oh, and I'm like, and you know, Below Deck. Oh, yeah, that's the yachting one, right? Because they always act like they don't watch it. They're like, yeah, the yachting one. Yeah, I watch that every now and then. And then all of a sudden they start to like cite very specific instances from like all the seasons. But, I usually just say I have a Bravo recap and
I find that people's responses are the same no matter what I say. So I've just learned to keep it like super short. So because no one cares. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when people say, what do you do? And then you tell them like they don't really want to know. It's just something to say while they're driving. So I've learned that they don't give a shit anyway. But everybody's response, no matter how I say what we do, is the same. They go, I don't watch reality TV shows. Like, they're too smart to watch reality TV shows, you know? So that's, like, mostly, I think, everyone's basic answer is, like, I'm too smart for reality shows. But my friend sometimes watches Survivor. They're all Padma.
I also get, like, bullshit responses where someone wants to act like they watch. They're like, oh my God, like Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I don't watch a lot of them, but I do watch like Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Like, oh yeah, I love it. Like, you know, I was like, what do you think about the latest season? Well, honestly, I haven't watched since about season two. Is it still on? I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
All right, you don't watch.
Yeah, you're not helping the cause, okay, you fake ally.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
what's your favorite to like, recap?
Recap that we've done. You know what? We always have recaps that I'm always like, oh my God, this is one of our best ones. We got to lock this one in. It's like, we got to like write this one down as like one of the all-time favorites, and then I never write it down. I think like our Below Deck musicals 1 and 2 were two of my favorites because they were so crazy. It all blurs together. We do so many. It's hard for me to remember. I like when the listeners tell us which ones are their favorites. There were some, I feel like there were some from New York last season that were epic. And honestly, I loved when we did Real Housewives of New York in Philadelphia. That was just, I just remember really, really enjoying that. But there's,
yeah, Real Housewives of New York is always a special go-to. And Beverly Hills, too. I love doing Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
Even when it's just at its shittiest, because they're so silly. Like, even their stupid, like, this fight over the glass, glassware, was one of the dumbest things I think I've ever sat through on TV. But it was so much fun to talk about.
Yeah.
Over and over every day fighting about the glasses. And then we get into arguments about it. And then we start, because you have to talk about the same thing every week if that's what they're talking about. And at one point, I just remember being like, dude, we're having a fight. Well, like, you and I are having a fight about glassware. Like, this is ridiculous. we need to get a hold of ourselves, okay? We're ridiculous right now.
Well, you know, that shit is real. That's why it's so good. I need to be better about like marking down like the, sometimes we finish an episode and we're like, damn, that was so fun, you know, like, but it's just I never do. And then it's just, you know, we're almost at 900 episodes, and so it's hard to remember. Like one comes in, it's like a lot of times once we're done with an episode, like, it is out of my brain, and people will be like, when you said that thing, I'm like, I said that, you know, like it's like we're in a fugue state when we do these sometimes.
Yeah. Is there anything else there? Do you want to cut off for the day?
There's tons, but we're going to wrap it up for this week.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much for being here. We will be back next week. We've got an extra show coming up next week. We're going to have to figure out what to do with that. But I'm sure we're both going to be watching Mexican Dynasties.
Oh, that doesn't start till the 26th, actually.
Isn't that next week?
Nope.
What is today? Oh, today's the 15th.
Today's the 15th.
Oh, yeah. Well, look at that. We've got a couple weeks. Never mind. I was already stressing out. I'm like, what are we going to do?
I know, me too. I had that moment also like about an hour ago, so you're not alone.
What we do next week, we're going to do, guys. We are going to go to Vancouver. Get your tickets. Come see us in Vancouver. That's going to be such a fun show. We'll put something on social for you guys to vote, for those of you who have watched The Housewives in Canada, to tell us if Toronto or Vancouver had the best first episodes ever. And we'll do that. And then, you know, look out for your emails for those of you who signed up for notifications for the South by Southwest deal.
Yeah.
And we'll be there. And for all of our other ticket links and for t-shirts and all that good stuff, go over to watchwhatcrapins.com.
Yeah.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Have a wonderful weekend.
Love you. Bye.
Goodbye, Kyle.
Goodbye, Kyle.